salt was actually, in a lot of ways, more valuable than gold.
That's award-winning Carrie Mills history teacher Mark Motzinger emphasizing the economic importance of something that was probably on your breakfast this morning. And during the 1800s, southeastern Illinois, mostly around the counties of Saline and Gallatin, saw a booming salt industry.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, most people realize that Saline County, of course, gets its name from the Illinois Salines, and so does the Saline River. But one of the interesting things about the salt wells is that at one time, one-third of the territory of Illinois, and even the beginning of the state of Illinois, one-third of the state's revenue actually came from the Saline wells. And the first prison in Illinois, in Alton, was built with money raised from the salt wells. And so, you know, there's a pretty good economic background to the salt wells of southern Illinois.
And someone might be saying, well, what's the big deal about salt? Well, keep in mind, this was way before refrigeration. And back then, people would preserve meat by basically putting a whole bunch of salt on it. Is that correct? Why it was so important?
Well, you know, salt was actually, in a lot of ways, more valuable than gold. You literally used it for hunks of salt, for money. Like you said, you had to have it to secure your meat. There was no refrigeration. It was one of the few things you could actually, on the frontier, put on food to give it some kind of a taste. So salt was very, 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 very important to the early settlers. And the salt industry here, we know it dates back to probably late woodland times with the Native Americans, but we also believe that probably by the mid-1700s, the French were coming here. And we know that by 1803... the United States government had leased from the Native Americans in the area the right to use the salt there. So it's been something that they've used here for a long, long time.
I'm fascinated by how actually did they mine salt? Did they drop a bucket in a well and they lifted it up and then they used a spoon because the salt settled on the bottom? Or is there more to it than that?
Well, yes and no. They harvested it all kinds of ways. When they started to get into large production, they did it a little differently. But still to this day, you can go down to on Forest Service property to the old salt spring, and you can literally see what looks like kind of a white substance floating on the water. And I take my classes down there a lot of times, and it literally looks like a septic tank, to be quite honest with you. And but it is the salt spring. And what they would do, well, the easiest way to do it was they would take a bowl of some type or a pan, they would dip it down, get the water out, they would just take it up, let it sit there until the water evaporated, and then scrape it out. That was probably the easiest process. It was very time-consuming because it took a long time to do that, and that's probably how the Aboriginal population here did it. You find all kinds of broken pieces of pottery and that type of thing, the big bowls that they used. Later on, they did it a little differently.
And another way that they harvested the salt involved going literally straight down.
They began to actually sink wells down into where the spring was at. And so there were as many as 10 or 11 of them at one time right there. Now, the other place is about a half mile kind of south and west of the town of Equality, and it was called the Half Moon Lick. And it was literally a big lick that for years, the buffalo, the mastodon, they've actually found mastodon bones there, came and licked an area that looked like a half moon. And they would scrape the salt there and produce salt from that spot as well.
But because of competition from other states in the late 1800s, the salt industry in southeastern Illinois faded away.
What ended up happening was they began to find a different way. They literally began using salt mines, and it was a higher grade salt. And some of it was in West Virginia and places like that, and slave labor was still used in the 1850s in West Virginia, so it was cheaper. The process that they had to use here was, matter of fact, it was called the Salt Reservation. It was a huge area that was given all around the where the salt wells were, and they literally started running out of firewood because they had these big metal, kegs, whatever, and they would heat them and boil the water out. Well, they literally, for almost miles around the area, cut out all the trees. And so they started trying to bore logs into pipes, and you can still see some of these pipes, and they would move the water places, and it eventually got to the point where it was just too expensive to try to maintain it.
But another mineral, which was not nearly as common as salt, but just as important to the entire country, put Rosie Claire, Illinois on the map.
There's even tombstones in Hardin County that actually have them in the stones, which is kind of interesting.
Those interesting items in those tombstones are pieces of a bluish-purple mineral rock known as fluorspar, which gave Rosa Claire, Illinois a healthy economy even into the 1970s.
The town of Rosa Claire, even back when you and I were in high school, we're about the same age, it was a pretty booming little town. You know, it had stores and restaurants and all type of things, and a big grocery store. It was because of the fluorspar mine. The fluorspar industry in this part of the state is really unique. I can remember a couple years ago, I was out at out in Colorado, at Leadville, Colorado, at a rock shop. And I remember seeing a couple of hunks of purple fluorite. And I said, "Where did you get that?" And they said, "Oh, that came from Hardin County, Illinois." So, you know, it's well known all over the United States. And anybody that's a rock collector knows of where you go get this purple fluorite.
And thanks to this purplish mineral, Hardin County, Illinois helped the war effort.
I would say about 1942, sometime in the middle of World War II, Illinois became the dominant fluorspar place in the United States and probably even the world for a while there. As a matter of fact, if you go to the Fluorspar Museum, there's actually a sign that says, under protection of the Department of Defense. They use a lot of the stuff that's in fluorspar for the production of aluminum and, you know, and that type of thing. So that was very important to the military effort.
And why were these large deposits of fluorspar located here in Hardin County?
A lot of it has to do with the unique geology of that area. Some of it even goes under the river and goes over into Kentucky.
And how about this for uniqueness? One big reason fluorspar occurs in Hardin County is because of the existence of an extinct volcano.
A lot of people don't realize this, but we actually have, it's kind of, the lack of a better term, an extinct volcano. And I think we talked a little bit about that at one time. It's called Hicks Dome. And deep down into the earth, the heat and the pressure and that type of thing is, they believe, is what has caused this from this extinct volcano. And at one time, I thought maybe that was the same reason we had the salt. Called a good friend of mine who's a geologist this morning and asked him about that. And he said, no, it'd be two different processes because salt's a little closer to the top. And that's probably has something to do with an inland sea that was here. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing that an extinct volcano is actually one of the reasons we have that.
And by the way, tonight at 7 at the Carbondale Township office, you can attend a presentation by a nationally known Illinois geologist about Hicks Dome, the remnant of a long-gone volcano that enabled Hardin County to once host a vibrant economy. For WSIU Radio, I'm Kevin Boucher.